Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. That special introduction was not intended to be that loud, but it was special respect to our guest tonight, Brother Chris Helm. He got married, I think, not too long ago, and I didn't get a chance to see him. 8-8? Well, okay, I'm just a little late. So that was our introduction to Mr. Helm. Nothing but the best for you and the wife, Sarojini. And again, every time I look on Facebook, you guys are always active. You are always involved. Makes some wonder, when do you ever sleep, man?
Yeah, I know. Really? I lose a lot of it, but it's worth it.
Okay. Hey, tonight, again, on the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast, we have a special topic tonight. Tonight, we want to talk about CA2s and CA2As. Okay. Was that the Mrs. Chris?
Okay. I think so.
Okay, because I recognize the dog from Facebook, man. That's who's here. Okay. Hey, but anyway, listen. Tonight we want to talk about CA2s and CA2As. Now, first, what I want to do is, again, just give a little definition, and then I'm going to turn this microphone over to the subject matter expert and really sit back and listen to Mr. Helm on this. When we talk about a CA2, we're talking occupational disease or an illness claim. Occupational disease or illness is a medical condition produced in the work environment over a period longer than a single workday or shift by such factors as synthetic infections, continued or repeated stress or strain, or exposure to hazardous elements. So in short, what I'm saying is, if you don't know the exact point, place, and time that you got injured, which would then make it a CA1, then a CA2 would be the way that I think you need to go. But I'm going to stop right there. And Mr. Helm, would you please enlighten us on that CA2 form, please?
So you're exactly right. And the way I teach it, to make it easier for everyone else, a CA1 happens in one shift. A CA2 happens in two or more shifts. So it's easy to know if you have a CA1 because you probably felt a pop. You know, it happened at this instance. You stepped out of your car and your knee popped. You lifted a box and your back popped. You know, those things happen in an instance, and it's clear that that happened right now. But things that happen over two or more shifts, two or more days, two or more weeks, two or more months, two or more years, they develop over time. Carpal tunnel syndrome develops over time. Osteoarthritis, you know, arthritis of the knee, develops over time. You may experience extreme knee pain, but there was never an incident. But for the last 20 years, you've been running up and down steps. Okay? Your knee's hurting now. And so those things happen over a long period of time. And so if it happens over two or more shifts, it's a CA2. And that's the easiest way to know what you're doing. But I'm glad you're talking about this topic because most people just don't file this at all. It's shocking how many people don't even know they have these benefits. And so they just work through it and fight through it. And so, you know, I'll be in a room of your coworkers, Mr. Hodge, and I'll say, you know, who's been in this agency for more than 20 years? And almost everyone raises their hand. And so my next question is meant to be a joke, but who's younger today than you were 20 years ago? Well, you know, that's funny. Well, 70 pounds, if you're lifting that all the time, is heavier now. And your job's not getting easier, so what are you going to do about it? You can't continue to ignore it. A CA2 is there for those conditions that come up over time because the job's hard. Don't ignore it.
You know, one of the most difficult one of the most difficult things I find when trying to have a conversation with employees about a CA2 is it is almost impossible. Well, it's real hard to get across to employees that just because it didn't happen right now, just because you don't know the exact moment in time, does not mean you're filing a fraudulent claim. You file the claim
to the best
of your ability and let the department of labor. Now, again, if what you say is truthful, you file it to the best of your ability and let the Department of Labor sort through it.
But that's exactly right.
The CA2 form, I don't know why, people always seem to think that's associated with somebody trying to pull the blind eye on over the service. But I want you to know, go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to say this because nobody in your agency can do anything about anything I'm going to say. I can't get fired. I'll tell you this. That stigma that you're talking about is a management lie. That's just what's been told over and over and over. You must be faking it. That's why management says, oh, yeah, let me see your medical documentation before I send in a CA2, which is against the law. You know, they're trying to push people and make them feel bad about it. There's a stigma on getting hurt. You know, rub some dirt on it. You're okay. Well, no, you're not okay. And but for this job, you wouldn't be having this pain. You know, you wouldn't be limping around if you didn't carry the mail for the last 30 years. You're older now. You're not a 25-year-old person anymore. And this is here for those people. And so there's a stigma that has been passed around, and it comes from rumors that are false, that, you know, you must be lying if you have to fill out a CA2. You're just lazy if you're filling out a CA2. You don't want to do your job if you fill out a CA2, and you're going to get fired. None of those things are true. And everyone needs to stand up and get together on this and say, hey, we're not getting pushed around on that anymore. And let's certainly don't do it to ourselves by buying into that false lie, because that's a lie. Everyone has a right to the CA2. It is a right by the federal government. Take advantage of it. Don't let the system take advantage of you. And that's what's happening to too many people.
So let's say we did get the point across to employees that over time, once you feel you've sustained a work-related injury from repetitive motion or whatever, how do we go about filling out or requesting a CA2? What are the steps that's involved in that?
All right, I'm glad you asked. So everyone needs to have a CA-10 posted at their workstation, what a federal employee should do when injured at work. And it lists five things. It's broken into five sections on what you do, and it applies to both CA-1 and 2. So the first thing you do is you go to your supervisor and request a CA-2. Now, that's the most painful step because most people don't want to deal with their supervisor. But it says report to supervisor, okay? So you got to go to the supervisor and get a CA-2. And the supervisor is likely going to say, yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't have to give you one. I don't want to give you one. You're not really hurt. None of that stuff is all of those things go against law. Let's put it that way. The supervisor's only job, their only job is to get that form, fill it out, and turn it into DOL. That's it. Their opinion is irrelevant. The doctor's opinion will hold all the weight. So in order to get a CA2 filed, you go to your supervisor and get it. You sit there in front of them. The employee fills out page 1. The supervisor fills out page 2. Then the supervisor signs page 3, which is a notice of receipt, and give a complete copy of everything back to the employee once it's complete. From there, the supervisor has 10 days to turn it to DOL, 10 work days. The employee takes the CA2 and goes to the doctor. And that's it with the supervisor. Now, the supervisor's job is to get the heck out of the way and go back and do whatever job you do as a supervisor. Okay, get out of the way. Now, then the employee goes to the doctor. And that's it. The claims examiner does not want anything else from a supervisor, nothing else.
And I don't know why postal management feel that they have to be so involved, which really just slows down the process all the way through. In fact, I chuckled because I really admire the way you said that. Do your part and then go do whatever it is you're supposed to be doing, because this has a process of its own, and this process needs nothing else from you.
That's right. They have no responsibility outside of turning that thing in to DOL. And so, but too many times supervisors do things to get in the way. They put a wedge in this thing. And what we got to do as educated employees that know stuff about this is tell them no. You know, take a union steward with you when you report. And when they push, push back. But we know the laws. And so the law is in our favor. It protects us. The law does not penalize injured federal employees. It protects injured federal employees. And so the surest way to protect yourself is to fill that form out. And most people don't know it. They think, well, if I fill that form out, something's going to happen to me. No, nothing's going to happen to you. It's illegal to threaten your job. It's illegal to fire you. It's illegal to take any action against you for reporting an injury. Even OSHA has a list of 9 employee rights. Number 6 is the right to report a work injury. Why do you think that is? So nobody should be scared or feel bad about reporting work injuries, work illnesses, conditions that came on as a result of the job. Don't feel bad about it. Feel bad if you don't do it, because it's only you that suffers. A supervisor doesn't suffer. You know, they're not going home at night with a bad back. You are.
You are.
So you got to protect yourself, okay? And that's what we're teaching. Protect yourself by knowing your rights, knowing the rules, and then use them.
See, and I'd like to thank you to this. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. What should the injured employee do if your supervisor refuses to fill out the form or send it in?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked me that. That was the ultimate that's a slow pitch ball. I'm going to hit this one out of the park. So this just happened. Okay, a very similar situation happened, and a postmaster not only did not want to fill out the form, but suggested to the employee that they should resign. Your best bet now is to resign. You're injured. And that employee actually wrote a resignation letter until the steward who knew me called and said, hey, this is BS, right? And so they contacted OSHA. If the supervisor doesn't allow you to fill out your forms, remember, it's your right to report the injury. If they get in your way of that right, 1-800-321-OSHA. Okay, you call OSHA and you say, it's my right to report an injury. Is it a violation that they're not allowing me to do it? Is that a violation? When we call OSHA, people are scared to do that and make reports.
Hey, Chris, what's that number again?
But nobody's scared to ask questions. 1-800-321-OSHA. So a lot of people are scared to make reports, but almost nobody is scared to ask questions. So we just teach people to call in and ask, this situation happened. Is this a violation? So this lady called in and asked, was this a violation? And the postmaster and supervisor have both been terminated from their position, because it turns out it was happening all over the place. And finally, somebody did something about it. And OSHA went in there and cleaned house. That is a success story. I don't like to see anybody lose their job, but I'm tired of seeing, you know, the employees get pushed around. And that's just how it goes.
And just think about this. There was a supervisor and an employee in that case that lost their job for something that cost them nothing. All they had to do was do their job. You know, so I don't get it with postal management, but it happens way more times than not. So again,
it sure does.
On that,
you know, it's a crime to get in the way of someone's right to report an injury. Not only does OSHA say it's your right to report an injury, but the U.S. code, I'm pulling it up here, actually says whoever, I'm going to skip some words, but whoever induces, compels, or directs an employee to forego filing an injury shall be fined, imprisoned, or both. So whoever tries to prevent you from filing your injury can go to jail. I think it's serious. That's the U.S. code, 18 U.S.C. 1922. Whoever induces, compels, or directs an injured employee to forego filing an injury claim shall be fined, imprisoned, or both. Not maybe, shall be. So if someone doesn't allow you to report your injury, they may be violating that law.
And as I always tell postal employees, do not be afraid of it to have to reach outside to another agency if the Postal Service won't do what it's supposed to do. And I say to you,
yeah, that's exactly
nor should you feel bad about it because if they would do what they're supposed to do, then you wouldn't have to go outside anyway. But let's move right along from that CA2 to the other form on the menu tonight. And this is just a little more, I don't know, people make this one, the CA2A, even more controversial than the CA2. And
right.
The CA2A, again, is a reoccurrence. Federal employees notice of reoccurrence of disability and claim for continuation of pay compensation. Now, Mr. Helm, go ahead and tell me about the CA2A.
So the CA2A is there for any injury. It could have been a CA1 or a CA2 in the past, but it resolved. And so whoever, you know, was injured was better, okay? And at some point in the future now, it comes back. It recurs, right? So the CA2A, a notice of recurrence, is used for those people. But here's the catch to it, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. Okay, none of us is doctors. I'm not a doctor. Okay, I don't have medical knowledge. And so I've got a bad back. I have a bad knee. And, you know, a year from now, my knee's hurting. How do I know it's the same injury? So it's really important that they go to the doctor and be evaluated before doing a 2A. Because, you know, the knee, for example, has four ligaments, bones, cartilage, tendons, muscles, okay? How do I know which of the four ligaments is hurt or if it's even a ligament? I don't know. So it might not be a recurrence. It might be something new. If it's new, it's certainly easier to get accepted. But if it is a recurrence, having a medical report saying so also makes a two-way easier to get reopened. And so I recommend going to the doctor first because we're not doctors. And there's a lot of stuff that could be going on inside the human body, and we can't see inside of there. So we should have someone check it out. But a 2A is a recurrence of any past condition that has come back.
So when you say recurrence of any, so are you saying if I got hurt in employment other than the Postal Service and it now reoccurs while I'm working for the Post Office, would that meet the criteria for a 2A?
Mm. No, I'm glad you asked that. Let me clarify. It's a recurrence of any condition that was accepted after being employed by the Post Office or by any federal agency. So you had to have had a condition approved by DOL, by Department of Labor, OWCP, in order to ever be able to use a 2A. So if it was an injury that happened prior to working for your agency and now it comes back, that's not a 2A. That's a CA1 or a 2. Because any pre-existing condition that was there before you started your agency will be covered if the job now exacerbates it, accelerates it, or worsens it. So you can bring an injury from a past job. You can bring an injury from the military, which, as you know, so many people do, especially at the post office. And if your job causes that to be worsened, it's covered. But that wouldn't be a two-way in that case. It would be either a CA1 or a 2, you know, however the injury happened.
But a
2A only covers injuries that were previously approved by DOL.
See, and one of the most important parts or aspects of that is it's important, as I always try to tell postal employees, I mean, the federal labor laws, these are the same laws that protect congressmen. So we've really got a
That's
good
right.
plan, but we have to learn how to work the plan. It's there for us. We just have to understand and network and connect with people who understand how to navigate through this process, because I'm telling you, it's here. Everything is in place for us, but it's not accessible to us so that we take proper advantage of it. And that's where Chris Helm, Jeannie Helm, Federal Injury Centers, people of this nature, that's where they come in. And podcast audience, I don't know any other way to say this, because you're going to hear it every Tuesday night here. Tomorrow night, Jeannie and Chris do an hour Facebook. So we are actively trying to get you to understand that you have a bunch of medical rights and injury compensation laws that are in place to protect you, but you have to take the time and try to understand them, or at the very least, stay in contact with someone who does understand them.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the injuries that go unaccepted or injuries that just go unattempted, in other words, not trying to fill out the forms, is an epidemic problem in this country. Federal employees have some of the hardest jobs, and only 1 out of 13 federal employees has an accepted claim every year. 1 out of 13. It's just, it's a horrible, horrible outcome. If you get hurt, it's terrible. But if you fill out your forms, your odds go way up of getting a case approved. Way up, like through the roof. So fill out the forms. Protect yourself, and you do that by filling out the forms. That's your starting point.
Okay, well, listen, tonight I really want to – yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
I just have one question real quick.
Sure.
I had my thumb joint replaced on my left hand. I've been with the Postal Service for 13 years. I only heard about you all 2 weeks ago. That my union, I'm a rural carrier, and the city union is the one that came to me and told me about it. I've been off work since May 15th. I will not be back at work anytime soon because my thumb joint being replaced is not any better. We might have to do another surgery. But it was from the repetition of thumbing the mail. Everything you do is with your left hand, even though I'm right-handed. So I'm really confused about all of this mess.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'm going to jump in there, Mr. Hodge. So your confusion is mirrored around the country. This is confusing to everybody. But
right.
The key is, did you get your claim accepted by the Department of Labor?
No, I just found out about you all 2 weeks ago. I just am getting started with all of this. And
wow.
It's
not too late.
15.
You have 3 years. You have 3 years to report your injury.
Right.
Not 3 years from the first time your thumb ever hurt. 3 years
right.
from the date that you knew your problem was work-related.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So get a, if it happened over time, get a CA-2 and fill it out and turn it in. And then that starts the process of getting your claim accepted because my gut feeling is right now that everything's coming out of your pocket and you're taking time off, and who's paying you when you're off?
I don't have any – I get no pay.
Right. Well, when you get a CA-2 accepted, you get paid through LWOP, and they'll pay you regularly using CA-7 forms. It's very confusing, but for you, you got one step that matters right now. It's go tomorrow to your supervisor and fill out a CA-2. That's what matters tomorrow.
Okay.
And then you can start the process of getting your claim accepted. And, Mr. Hodge is here for you. I'm here, too. So we can help you.
Does this have to go through your doctor, how it's worded and all that good stuff, too? So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, your doctor's going to have to write a really beautiful narrative explaining why your thumb is this, in this condition because of the job. But that shouldn't be a problem unless your doctor's lazy. And I'm not saying your doctor's lazy, but that's the only reason this doesn't get done.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Hey, well, listen, while I have Mr. Helms on the line, are there any other callers who have questions pertaining to the CA-2s or any injury compensation question for Chris while I have him here today?
Chris, we want to see you tomorrow.
Hey, I'm going to be there.
I know you are. Are you going to be here on Thursday as well?
Yeah, I'm going to be there Wednesday through Friday.
Okay, because tomorrow night, of course, is the banquet.
Yeah, well, I'm a paying customer at the hotel, so everyone will be in and out of the banquet. I'll be there with you. Mr. Hodges, the rural carriers are having their national convention here in Texas, and they're 20 minutes from where I live. So I'm stopping in to go say hi to all my friends. Yeah.
Hey,
I hope to see you. Even if you are an old married man again.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone.
She put the old on there, man. Hey, but anyway, again, that rural carrier job, you're right, very tough occupation. Supervised for a long time. Again, I've got a whole different level of respect for a lot of the workers in the post office. And that letter carrier, city and rural, are definitely two of the groups that I've got a lot of respect for. But it's so funny that the caller mentioned not hearing about injury compensation so far, so long after having an injury. I got contacted today with by another clerk in Columbus who reported an injury to a supervisor in February, not aware of what should take place. Supervisor did no forms. Now the employee is missing time from work, and true to form of the people that I work with, the supervisor is trying to bring discipline on the employee for missing work over a work-related injury that the supervisor never filed. So I'm sure that somebody from Columbus will be contacting Chris and Jeannie within the next day or so. Because, again, I give them the information I can, but when it seems like it's a little bit, as we say in the military, above my pay grade, if Robert and myself can't handle it, trust me, there is no hesitation to send you to Chris, Jeannie, or some of the subject matter experts, because getting it right is very important, but you have to at least speak. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh yeah, and that story you just told about getting in trouble now for whatever is going on there, that was the supervisor's fault. You know, you guys have another option too. You can file EEO claims, and EEOC.gov, and you can file a complaint there as well. Because oftentimes when someone's hurt, they are discriminated against for being injured. Discriminated by not getting enough hours, by being sent back to work by the doctor, the supervisor saying, we don't have any limited duty work for you. Well, that's discrimination. By threatening you, putting you in a position to where you feel like you're going to be fired, that could be discrimination. I don't know, but somebody should ask the question. And so that's another option on top of OSHA, is filing EEO complaints. And we encourage federal employees. Every time I teach this, I encourage, let's go and try to penalize supervisors for trying to penalize you. Nothing's going to change if you don't do it. And these things are there for you.
See, I think that happens far too often in the Postal Service. We get used to not doing the right thing. You know, it's sort of like we say, well, they're not going to do anything, so why bother? Well, we have to start bothering. We really do. And I think if one or two started bothering, four or five will also. And again, these are laws, federal laws, that are bigger than the post office. They don't have an option. I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I think everyone should probably mute their phones. I think that's what's going on.
All right. Yeah, but again, all right. Yeah, we've got federal laws on our side, but we have a system that says, listen, I'm going to give you protection, but you still have to ask for it. And if you don't ask for it, then don't be mad at me because I didn't offer it. And we're trying to change that perception.
That's right. And you know what? You know, the unions have a lot of power here. One word comes to mind. It's my favorite word, grievance. I'm sad that I can't personally file grievances for people, but you can. Everyone that's a federal employee can make that happen. So file grievances as well. Every single way you can push, because they're going to push you. So we have these shirts that say hashtag file a grievance. It's my favorite shirt. I want to do it myself, Mr. Hodge. But you can do it. So when management does something that's against law.
I'm sorry. I think Mr. Chris must have dropped out for a second. I might have lost him. But as we get ready to bring our podcast to the close, can everyone still hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah. As I bring the podcast to a close, I want to thank everyone for joining Hodge to Hodge on Tuesday night. We're here every Tuesday night trying to give you injury compensation information. Also, on Tuesday nights, I always give you a reminder about Wednesday night. Again, dynamic individual, Chris and Jeannie. I follow their show, and again, I learn a lot from them. And every time I have the opportunity, I always invite them to come on the podcast again because their knowledge is above reproach. And all we have to do is listen and connect in. And again, they're going to show us how, again, that we can take advantage of rights that are provided to us. So, hey, Rob, before I give you the final word for tonight, hey, Chris, go ahead and would you tell people how they can contact you and give them some of your contact information?
Yeah, so find us on Facebook. We have a page that's called Wednesday Night OWCP Chats. Wednesday Night OWCP Chats. Like and follow the page. And every time we go live, you'll get notifications that we're live. You can watch. We teach about OWCP every week. Also, most people don't have Twitter, but everyone should get Twitter and just follow me. Don't follow anybody but me, at Fed Injury Center. My page is at the at sign Fed Injury Center. So I post really super valuable information on there only about OWCP. Like laws, for example, it's a crime to prevent someone from filing a work injury. Well, I post that stuff there. And it's super useful. I don't waste anybody's time. I don't post things on there about my favorite sports team and what I had for dinner. I'm not wasting your time on that. And you won't waste your time on Twitter if you only follow me at Fed Injury Center. So those are two of the best ways to get us. And you can always message us on Facebook, and we reply to all the messages and answer all the questions.
Take us home, Robert.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We're happy to have you and happy to help when we can. Let us help.
And with that note, I'm going to say good night, podcast.
All right.